to ESIP's Global Economy Podcast. My name is Frederik Eriksson, and today I'm going to talk to Oscar Guinea. Oscar is a senior economist at ESIP. He joined us last autumn from the Scottish government, where he had been working as an economic advisor for a few years. Previously, he's been at the European Commission in Brussels, and he's been working as an economist at a consultancy in Europe. At ESIP, Oscar has been working lately quite a lot on markets, market concentration, productivity, and the declining levels of dynamism in Western economies. This is also what I'm going to talk to Oscar about today. The growing debate about capitalism and firm market power, and what all this entails for Europe when it comes to policies on competition, regulation, and how to make the European economy much more dynamic. Oscar, welcome to ESIP's Global Economy Podcast.
Hi, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, Oscar, we are going to talk today about competition, the importance of competition for markets and economies to work well and to deliver desirable results. And we are particularly going to talk about your new paper on competition. It's a paper that covers issues like rising market concentration and rising market power for large firms, and what all this means for the dynamism of our economy. This is a debate that has been growing for some time, and we've seen a couple of new books coming out recently by people like Tim Wu and Jonathan Harper, who has been arguing that growing market concentration and falling levels of competitions are big concerns for our economies. However, and perhaps a bit strangely, here in Europe, this debate has now taken a pretty sudden turn after the European Commission rejected the rail merger between Alstom and Siemens. Now we have the French and German governments calling for a new industrial policy in Europe that would allow the emergence of European champions. Can you start by telling us a little bit about what is it that these governments actually have proposed?
Yeah, sure. So, as you were saying, after the European Commission said no to the merger of Alstom and Siemens, two of the biggest firms in the railway sector, the French and the German governments, they have presented a manifesto on the future of the EU industrial and competition policy. These manifestos have several proposals on industrial policy, innovation, competition. Some of them are specific than others, but probably the one that is most radical is the idea to take some of the powers on competition policy from the European Commission and into the hands of the European Council. Specifically, the powers, surprise, surprise, of the Commission to approve or reject mergers like the one the Commission has rejected for Alstom and Siemens. So you will be thinking, why is the French and the German government so keen to take these powers away from the European Commission? So they argued that when the European Commission is assessing if allowing two companies to merge will be harmful for competition, the Commission should take account, in some cases, of global rather than European markets. One of the things they're trying to do, if you ask me, is a bit like bending the rules of European competition policy to create European champions, as they argue that these champions will have the size and the capacity to take on and compete internationally against Chinese and American businesses. And well, if you ask me, and what we argue in the paper is that this is wrong, and this is wrong for many reasons. One is that allowing European companies to merge and increase in size will not bring any benefit to European citizens. And the second is a point we make quite forcefully in the paper, and we provide evidence for, is that the degree of market competition in Europe has been on decline for many years. And the third reason why this manifesto actually not getting the whole picture of competition policy in Europe right is that even if Chinese or American firms or if other foreign firms are getting bigger, they haven't really been able to take much of the market share from European companies in Europe. And this is because in some sectors, in some cases, European firms are protected by European national and even regional regulation.
All right. So, I mean, a first observation is that what they're proposing seems to be pretty radical. Taking away powers from the European Commission, giving it back to national governments in order to interfere with decisions that should be taken on the basis of evidence and facts rather than political preferences. To me, it sounds like something which is going to lead to ever more complexities and ever more politics getting into corporate mergers and the whole process around them. I was intrigued by what you were saying about the development of competition and the levels of competition on markets in Europe. I mean, if you read the manifesto by the German and French governments, and if you listen to the broader discussion going on right now, we've seen lately, for instance, Guy Verhofstadt has been out writing articles about why Europe needs to go in this direction. Manfred Weber, who is the Spitzenkandidat for the European People's Party in the European Parliament election, has also been out campaigning for a change in industrial policy leading to acceptance, for instance, of the rail merger between Alstom and Siemens. But it seems to me that the underlying hypothesis here is that competition policy in Europe keeps firms in Europe to be small, and it leads to a degree of competition which is too strong. Otherwise, if that weren't the case, it's difficult to find the rationale or the main argument for going in this particular direction of taking away powers from European Commission and competition policy. What you are suggesting seems to be that this doesn't chime with evidence. So what is the evidence saying, if you go into it a little bit more in detail? What have been the broad trends of competition, market concentration, market power in Europe over the last couple of decades?
There is a growing body of evidence supporting the thesis that market concentration is declining, market competition is declining. And these evidence have been made from international organizations like the IMF or the OECD and several academics. And a large part of this research has been focused on the US economy and US sectors. And with this paper, what we want is to start this conversation in Europe. We want to look at the levels of market concentration and market power in Europe. And what we see is that since the beginning of 2008, in the majority of the EU countries, there's been an increase in market concentration. This is in no least because, or partly because, the financial crisis has to say. It's been a pressure by the fall in demand. Companies have had to merge, or they might have to reduce the margins. But still, when we look at the different sectors, we can see that there is a significant number of them for which market concentration, so the number of companies selling goods and services in a particular market, and markups, which is the difference between the price charged to consumers and the cost of producing the service, they have increased. They are larger in 2012 than they were in 2008. Now, in the paper, we do not have data beyond 2012 on market concentration and markups. And this is clearly a shortcoming. But my impression is that despite the improvements in the European economy from 2012 until now, the degree of competition has not recovered. And we can see this, for example, in the rate of business churn, which is the rate at which new businesses have been created and then all ones have closed. And what we can see is that business churn, which is a proxy for economic dynamism, and in 2016, it's below the levels that they were before the economic crisis. And this is not only happening in Europe, it's also happening in the US.
And how would you explain that? What are the driving forces behind growing market concentration?
I have to say that market concentration, this is an important point. Market concentration is not an issue in itself. Competition could be pretty intense, even with a few players. And market power as well can be perfectly justified by the fact that some companies are able to produce better and more innovative products, and consumers are willing to pay more for it. What is worrying is not the level of market power and market competition or market concentration, is the persistence of these higher levels of market concentration and market power. And this is because there are a number of barriers for companies to get into these sectors. One usual suspect that many commentators have been pointed out is technology. So when products are free, like many digital products, where of course consumers kind of pay indirectly through use of the data, but they don't pay directly through the wallets, there is no longer a trade-off in these products between the cost and the quality. Because marginal cost is zero, and they're usually provided by free. And therefore, any digital product which is marginally better than its competitor will gain most of the market share. Similarly, for services which have strong network externalities, then the higher the number of consumers using these services, the more valuable they become. And then the opportunity cost of switching to a competitor increases. This is important. If technology was the force behind increase in market concentration, then we will expect to see a significant growth in labor productivity. And this hasn't happened. In fact, in many sectors in Europe, labor productivity has not increased for a very long time. So another possible reason behind the declining market competition in Europe is regulation. Regulatory barriers are fixed costs that stop new entrants and have a direct impact on competition. And this is very important to point out. Regulation has an impact on competition. If entry costs are high, firms will not face the competitive pressure of competition. There's also another important link with an important aspect on the link between regulation and market competition, is that if lobbying for a change of regulation, which has the effect of protecting firms from competition, is more profitable than competing in innovation, then the culture of a company, and I can say of a sector, even of the way of doing business in a particular country, will shift away from innovation and towards politics.
So if we want to move policy in a way that is going to encourage more competition in Europe, with new entrants stepping into market to compete, and by doing so, of course, also pushing older incumbents out from the market. If the policy is not what the French and German governments are suggesting, which is to basically reduce the pressure on mergers and acquisitions coming from competition policy, what is this then we should do in order to encourage more competition in the European economy?
For me, the answer is clear. And the answer is to try to make markets more contestable. If you look at market liberalization in Europe, it is pretty clear that the EU has not pursued an agenda of reducing market barriers for a very long time. And this has a real implications. For instance, let me give you an example. The lack of progress on reducing and cutting barriers on competition in services has led to many service sectors and industries to be the ones that are charging the highest markups across the economy. So one of the things we do in the paper is to test what is the relation between regulation and market competition. And we test this empirically, and we estimate that the higher the level of the regulation, the higher the level of market concentration and market power. We also look at the relation between market concentration, market power, and profitability, and we find that these three variables, they reinforce each other. So any increase in market concentration leads to higher markups, which allow companies to charge higher prices and get higher profits. And these additional profits allow firms to acquire additional market power. So the suggestion in the Franco-German manifesto kind of go into reverse of what the evidence is saying. It's very important that any revision or any proposal that goes into the new EU competition policy looks at how contestable European markets and sectors are. Because otherwise, if you support European champions, you are really risking to get high levels of market consolidation that will be really, really difficult to reverse.
All right. Thank you very much, Oscar. It's been a great pleasure talking to you, and it's been a great pleasure hearing a very refreshing approach to competition and competition policy in Europe. I should also say thank you to all of you who have listened, and in the event that you are interested to read more about the issue, I strongly recommend you to go to the website of ESIPES and look up this new paper, which is called Standing Up for Competition, Market Concentration, Regulation, and Europe's Quest for a New Industrial Policy. Thank you, and bye-bye.